Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to our 15th episode. This is also the last episode we'll do for 2017, so I wanted to begin with a big thank you. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you found the podcast helpful as you sought to learn more about Darden's executive formats over these past few months, and we'll have a lot more content coming in 2018, so stay tuned. But thank you, and hope you have a very happy holiday season. We'll be taking a break on the podcast. Hopefully you will be as well. So on this episode, I'd like to return to a topic we've explored on a few episodes already in the infancy of the Exec MBA podcast, specifically entrepreneurship. So as you know, we think that there's a natural fit between entrepreneurship and how students learn and are encouraged to think within our program. I recently sat down with Corbin Norman, a Gemba format student in our class of 2018, who is an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur at that, to talk with him a little bit more about entrepreneurship, some of the things that he has been doing within his class to encourage his classmates to think about entrepreneurship and pursue their entrepreneurship ideas, but also just generally about his experience as a Gemba format student. So without further ado, here's my interview with Corbin. Corbin, welcome to the podcast.
No, Brett, thanks for having me.
So we are in the process of having a series of conversations with executive format students about entrepreneurship. But before we get to that point, tell us a little bit more about who you are. Maybe a little bit about your background and what you do currently.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi. Graduated Jackson State University with a degree in computer science and mathematics. There, after graduation, I moved to the Washington, D.C. area, where I actually went and studied system engineering at the University of Virginia. So I'm currently a Wahoo. And soon after graduation, I went into management consulting, worked there off and on about 3 to 4 years. But in late 2014, early 2015, I had the opportunity to start a media tech company called Quality TV. And since then, we've been building a platform for independent filmmakers and content creators to really capture stories about the culture and history of the African diaspora. Great opportunity thus far, and I'm looking to share more information about it in this podcast.
So what led you to pursue your MBA? Obviously, you had already gone back to school. You had a master's degree from the University of Virginia in systems engineering, right? So what made you think an MBA is what I need?
Well, given that it was going to be my third time going back to study in a university, I had to really take into consideration what I wanted to do post MBA, and more specifically post Darden. And Quality TV was my second company that I started. One was when I was in undergrad back in Mississippi. It was a mobile application I developed, and being a naive undergrad at the time, I uploaded it for free. But it was a great opportunity to kind of learn the venturing process and how to do product development and marketing. But it also gave me the opportunity to understand what are some voids that I had in my own personal skill set that I really wanted to touch up and understand. Those things such as marketing, operations, I have not really had experience with in the past, but things like technology, I had a lot of experience with. And so I believe MBA afforded me the opportunity to kind of touch up some of those areas where I've had not had the opportunity to experience those different functional and industry areas. And once I made that decision, going the MBA route, more specifically Darden, just felt like the right fit.
What about Darden resonated with you? Obviously, I guess you have to think full-time exec. You decided to work while pursuing your MBA. How did you think through all of that? And then how did you arrive at Darden as being the right fit for you?
Yeah, so I really took into consideration the residential versus the executive. And my prior graduate degree at UVA, that was a professional degree as well. So I was still working full time. So I kind of grown accustomed to doing both. I could not see myself being a full time student. Again, even when I was an undergrad, I worked a full time job for about 4 to 5 years. And so I like juggling multiple things at once. And so it was, I always knew that if I was going to go back and get an MBA, it was going to be an executive program. Darden specifically, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I am a Wahoo, and so I knew a lot about Darden prior to considering Darden. And but the one thing that I do remember is that when I stepped foot on grounds, and a lot of my classes at Darden, actually, and when I stepped on grounds, I just felt like it was the right fit. The community-oriented atmosphere. I felt like I was always learning, whether I was in classroom or I was like talking with students or people just around the Charlottesville area. Secondly, I think the educational experience is very important when it comes to getting the MBA. And I think no one else does it better than Darden. They really give you a 360 experience of how education should be taken and should be engaged upon. And so, and one part of that was actually the case method. I mean, learning about different businesses, whether it's a different functional area or industry, and seeing these as real obstacles that companies and individual leadership face on a day-to-day basis, that's something you can take outside the classroom and apply it the very next day, whether you're working for yourself like I am, or you're working for a Fortune 500 company. And that's something that, honestly, I have not seen it being replicated anywhere else but Darden.
The case method is one of those things. I mean, it forces you to be in that decision-making role. And I think sometimes for prospective students, when you say case method, it sounds very abstract, right? It's like, what is that?
Yes.
We try to explain it a few different ways, right? It's a story, right? It's a narrative. And, you know, you got a company that has maybe a decision to make or is having some challenges or has an opportunity, but nevertheless has to weigh all these pieces of competing information. Is probably ambiguous.
Yes.
It's not entirely clear what you should do. You have imperfect information. I think that's the other thing that's always surprising to me is you assume like, oh gosh, well, you'll have every single piece of information you need, but just like in the real world, you don't. And and you get in class together and you assume the role of the protagonist, right? That C-suite level leader, decision maker, and you have to advocate for a position. Does that sort of jive with how you think about, how do you think about the case method?
Exactly. And some cases are more clear cut than others. For example, when you're talking about accounting and finance, things that are heavily quantitative and you're dealing with numbers, 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4, no matter how you actually phrase it. But when you get to classes such as ethics that really challenge you to think at a very macro level and understanding how different parts of the puzzle should all come together, and to entice individuals in the class to ask those really difficult and challenging questions, whereas sometimes you may not have the perfect answer for it. And a lot of times in business, there are no perfect answers, and the objective is to choose the best answer at that given time. And the amount of dialogue that you engage in with using the case methods is unbelievable. I always suggest to prospective students that I talked with is that you may be weak in one area, such as in my case, it was operations. But more than likely, the person to your left and right has expertise in that particular realm of business. And so you always have the opportunity to have dialogues with your classmates talking about these cases. And like you mentioned earlier, Brett, it's all about getting to a decision point, making a decision, not trying to make really the right decision, because sometimes there aren't, but the best decision.
And we talk with prospective students, too, about this idea that, okay, you got 60, 65 experienced managers in the room. They all kind of do different things, different backgrounds. Obviously, they're different people. And so you have this richness of perspective. If it was a lecture environment, you never quite know how they think or how they feel about some of the stuff that you're talking about. But obviously, case method, you've got an opportunity to appreciate all the diversity in the room and all the different ideas and perspectives and expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, case method really pushed me because I consider myself an introvert. So I would thrive, or it would be perceived that I would thrive more in a lecture-based environment where I'm not pushed to speak out, to offer my opinions and point of views about a particular matter. But you can't hide with the case method.
Sure.
The faculty, the amazing faculty at Darden, really push you to challenge other people's opinions in the classroom if you feel otherwise. And I thank them for allowing a atmosphere and a space for us to feel welcome in bringing those different viewpoints to the classroom. And I think the case method is a tool that facilitates that process.
the thing that I think it comes back to for so many students is communication, right? The idea that you have to be able to articulate your ideas. If you disagree with someone, you have to be able to say why, and you have to support that argument. That's a skill for life, right?
Absolutely.
It's something that's iterative. You're going to get better at it the more you practice it, but you have so many opportunities to practice it in your weekend residencies, in your learning team meetings, in global residencies, leadership residencies, all these points where you're having these discussion-oriented experiences.
It's the art of deliberate practice, something
right.
that we learn in our communication class. And for someone that has a technical background, computer science more specifically, who are used to having their head buried in a computer and programming, communication wasn't my strongest asset at the time, but I thank Darden for kind of forcing me to deliberately practice my communication skills while I'm able to articulate my thoughts and opinions on particular matters.
Your point about extroversion, introversion is an interesting one. We get the question a lot when we speak with prospective students about, I'm a little bit more retiring, I'm a little bit quieter. How am I going to fare in this? And we always stress that the idea of learning at Darden is to get you out of your comfort zone, right? That the case method is designed to do that. If all of our students were experts in all the areas we're teaching and everything that they're doing in the program, is really what's the point of the program? So it's designed to get you outside your comfort zone and stretch you in that way. And for some people, it's that in-class experience where you get cold call and say, Corbin, what should we do here? But that's a great opportunity for growth. And what better place to do it than in an educational environment where, you're free to experiment. You're free to be wrong or to take some chances in a way that might be harder in a, say, business setting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been a lot of cases that we've discussed in class where I feel I could not contribute because the topic of conversation was just way out of my skill set or knowledge set, I should say. And I knew my classmates had a lot of experience in that area. But even though that was the case, I still felt obliged to offer my suggestions or my thinking on the matter, which is very beneficial to get another perspective, especially from someone who has really no experience at that at all. So they're coming at it from different angles. And I think that's one thing you cannot take for granted at Darden and the use of the case method. I think it's been an unbelievable experience for me.
Yeah, you're about a year into the program now.
Yes.
So halfway done, so to speak.
Halfway, almost there.
So let's talk a little bit more about your startup experience. And, you're an entrepreneur. You're running a business now. And how do you feel like what you're doing at Darden has helped you in the work that you're doing? Do you feel like it's a good fit for someone who is an entrepreneur?
It absolutely is. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of things that I don't know and prior to coming to Darden, I still don't know once I leave Darden, but it offered me the chance to kind of fill in those blanks as I was building my business. For example, I came from a very high-tech background. I did not understand anything about media, entertainment, marketing, operation, those type of things. But I have classmates that have experience with that at a very high level, given that this is the executive program. And to just be at freedom to talk with those individuals on a day-to-day basis, I've grown close with them over time and be able to learn with them as far as, like, how do I go about doing this? You've worked for a media company in the past. I'm trying to get to that point. How do I go about this particular situation? Or do you have experience with developing strategic partnerships with content creators and studios around the world? Or in our case, Quality TV, we like to think of ourselves as a global company where 60% of our content come from either Europe or Africa. Prior to coming to Darden, I haven't had any experience in those particular countries. But now I've had the opportunity to visit both of those those areas. And so Darden has allowed me the chance to just really go out there and say, how does business work in those respective countries? And more specifically, how do you see Quality TV, right, company, within those particular countries going forward?
Wow. So that sounds like it intersects a lot with your experience as a global executive MBA student. So how did you decide that you wanted to do Gemba? Was it knowing a little bit about, you know, sort of where you saw your work going and the sort of international scope, the fact that, you know, your content creators are in places like Europe and Africa, or was it the opportunity to go to four different locations and spend a week there? I mean, what resonated with you about Gemba?
I would say it's a little both. On the personal level, when I was younger, I never had the opportunity to visit outside of Mississippi, to be quite honest. I was always a Jackson, Mississippi person. Family was mainly brought up in Mississippi, so I never seen the world outside of those boundaries. And so having the opportunity to visit four particular locations as a part of the Gemba program, I mean, it's something that I would never take for granted. And if I had the opportunity to do it over again, I would, because it just really opened my eyes to different cultures, different norms, talking to people of different beliefs and value systems. And that's something I can translate directly into quality TV. And on the professional side, it affords me the opportunity to understand, how should I communicate people who are so different than me, drastically different from me? How do I put quality TV in a better position to operate within these respective countries? Even though we have content from filmmakers in Europe and in Africa, as far as operating within those boundaries, something totally different than operating within the United States. And it's even more important, given that we have such an expansive reach, given that we're a digital platform, I think it's best to know and understand how you should actually penetrate those markets, where you're able to bring about value to people who are vastly, as I said earlier, different than you and I.
Interesting. So what stands out, if you had to say, oh, this is one of those global trips you've taken? I mean, I know it's hard to pick one thing, but what stands out in your mind as sort of like a signature or favorite experience?
Oh, wow. I would say the recent trip that we just took to South Africa, specifically Johannesburg and Cape Town. And Cape Town was absolutely amazing from a geography perspective. But it was also going through tough times, as with the entire country of South Africa. And I remember specifically one exercise that we did in class where we were kind of tasked to go out in this major development property on the waterfront area in Cape Town and really try to understand and interpret how they use spaces within a certain area. How they use spaces to really bring about inclusion and diversity amongst a country who has only recently been separated from apartheid.
Right.
And that really just allow me to reflect on how a country physically has been brought out of apartheid in South Africa, but mentally they're still working through that transition, especially as a very, I would say, democracy in its infancy stages.
Wow. That I mean, you've got one more trip upcoming, so
yes,
that sounds like an amazing trip. And now you've got one more.
Yes.
Are you going to do a global elective or anything like that? One of the Darden worldwide courses? Do you think?
Yes, I am planning to do the one in Japan in January, which is actually my second one because I went to Sweden.
Oh, you went
Stockholm,
to Sweden?
Stockholm, Sweden in May.
So what? Tell me, high level, because this is something that we're always talking with prospective students about, like this idea that, yes, you have the global residencies, but you also have these global electives, and students take seven electives, and you can knock out one of those electives with something like a Darden worldwide course. So what was the focus of the trip to Sweden?
This probably is not shocking. Entrepreneurship, innovation, and sustainability. I've never been to any of the Scandinavian countries. I had the opportunity this time to go to Stockholm, and the way that they think about sustainability and entrepreneurship and the investment that they put in building a strong foundation for the next generation is something I'm definitely going to use throughout my career. And it was at the perfect time as well, because I was kind of doing independent study, trying to learn about the refugee crisis in Europe and how a lot of those refugees migrated from Syria to Sweden, and how it put a strain on their social welfare system. And so it all kind of tied together once I had the opportunity to go in May.
as a hot button topic in Sweden right now, the idea of acculturation and assimilation, and yeah, socialist safety net. You know, people have access to all these resources and services, and you know, how do you think about that?
You actually have startups now that are trying to address those issues, and we met one in Berlin, a part of our European residencies back in March, who was trying to develop a digital platform to better integrate refugees into the German community.
Wow, that is very much a timely topic in all of these places, and particularly in a place like Sweden, which is, you know, I've been there, and it's a beautiful country, but homogeneous, I think, is one way. People have a very strong sense of shared culture and values and backgrounds. And you see the collision of some of these things. And so that sounds like a fascinating trip.
It was. I mean, between South Africa and Sweden, I would say those are places I'm definitely considering building a next venture, potentially down the line, or working with startups that are currently based there.
So what's Japan all about?
Japan, from my understanding, as of today, is about studying operations. Mm-hmm. Within a Japanese context, which, in my opinion, Japanese people are at the forefront of operations and understanding lean thinking and principles. But we're also going to have the opportunity to explore other areas of business, being technology, also how Japanese business has kind of stood the test of time, dealing with technological advances, and also the realm of digital, the digital space. So I'm looking forward to it. One of the professors, or the professor that's leading it, Mark Modica, he also led the Sweden trip as well.
Oh, wow.
So I've had the experience to travel abroad with him, and I'm looking forward to someone who actually spent a lot of time in Japan.
He did spend a lot of time in Japan, and as did Bob Conroy.
Yes.
And so he gave it for the full-time students class of 2019, this welcome in Japanese. It's like whole thing. So you learn something new about the Darden faculty every time you interact with them. So that will be credit to you for going on an operations Darden Worldwide course at DWC, recognizing that was an area where you needed to brush up a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, like I mentioned, I know myself. I know what I'm good at, and I know what is need improvement. And when I found out this Japan residency was going to be the theme was going to be on operations, I jumped right at it.
Nice. So we have a few more minutes here, Corbin. So if, you know, you imagine entrepreneurs sitting at home listening to the podcast, thinking about maybe getting an MBA, trying to figure out Darden, good fit, weighing some of these things, what would you say to that person as they think about Darden and their choice to pursue an MBA?
Right. Well, no matter if you've already started a business, so you're an entrepreneur now, or you're thinking about starting a business in the next year or so, I will say it's okay to come to Darden not knowing what you want to do. Because a lot of my classmates did the exact same thing. And now, since we're done with our first year, they have been molded and shaped in more ways than I could ever imagine. And so for those entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs out there, really think about your mission as an individual, as a career professional. What are some of the things that you want to change within your community or within your respective country or across the world, such as one of my things that I focus on? And think about your mission, and also think about where you want to make the most impact. For me, I'm looking at it from a much global perspective, and so I want to focus a lot of my ongoing efforts in African countries, and also those ones that are more disadvantaged in a variety of ways, whether it's socially disadvantaged or economically. And so, like I said, come here expecting to evolve over time. This is a process, I would say, that starts before Darden and it continues even post Darden. But you definitely, whatever you're doing, you definitely want to have a purpose behind it. you definitely want to put your why to work, as we like to say at
That's right.
at Darden, and you will learn more about that when you hopefully enroll in the executive program. But just have a purpose to whatever you're doing. That's why I believe I became an entrepreneur, because I saw a challenge out there. It was very mission based, and I was like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make inroads to try to tackle it.
Well, Corbin, thank you for being here. Appreciate you taking time to join us on the podcast. And for those of you who are interested in knowing a little bit more about, you know, Corbin and what he does with our executive format students, his classmates. So Corbin is one of the founding members of our Black Executive MBA student organization, and he's also been very instrumental in facilitating conversations around entrepreneurship amongst his classmates. So be sure to check out the Discover Darden blog for additional interviews with Corbin about this organization he helped form, but also what he's doing to promote entrepreneurship within this class of 2018. So Corbin, thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me, Brett.
Corbin Norman, a Gimbal format student in our class of 2018. As I noted at the outset of the podcast, thank you for listening. As always, we greatly appreciate it. If you have comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to explore further here on the Exec MBA podcast, let us know. We're always open to suggestions. We can be reached by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And of course, hope you have a very happy holiday.